Blog Talk Radio.
Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and welcome to Empower the Spirit. Today is Sunday, June 20th, 2010, and I am your host, Doug Kelly. I'm so glad you could join me. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. And it's my mission to explore, enhance, and empower the human spirit. This show addresses metaphysical topics, but with a bit of a different edge, with a practical skills, life skills type of an approach. It's about enhancing the human condition, both physically and spiritually. Each week, you can ask questions, and I will endeavor to answer them on the air. If you'd like to join me in the chat room, you can ask questions there. You can also call in. The numbers are on your screen if you wish. Now, if you want to, during the week, if you have a question on life, relationships, things of that nature you'd like to get a second opinion on, you can email me those questions. Send them to admin@mchschurch.org. The links are right there on your page for the website. You can contact me that way. And I assure you, you know, only use first names. Your anonymity, your privacy will be respected. So if you've got questions, shoot them on to me, and I will address them on the following week's show. Now, this week, I want to talk about MCHS Principle of Belief Number 2. The title of this week's topic is The Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit. Now, just to sum up, last week we talked about the first principle, which was doing no harm and doing right. Now, last week, in the last episode, I gave a little exercise, and hopefully if you listened to it, you were able to carry it out. And that exercise was to take the next 7 days and look for opportunities to do right, to do a nice. And I hope you were able to do that. And if not, why not make that commitment now? Look for opportunities to do a nice to those you live with or work with, or even a stranger. And of course, you know, use discretion with strangers. But somebody has a flat tire, you help them, or they need gas or something, they're broken down the road, or it can be anything, somebody you live with, doing a nice. We talked about the expression, and then some. And, you know, add that, you know, do something, but and then some. Do it with a little bit more. So if you've had some good experiences in doing a nice, per this exercise, why don't you shoot them to me in an email, and I can talk about those in a future show. Let's talk about the indomitable power of the human spirit. The Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science has 9 principal beliefs. This is number 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. And this is what I want to talk about. Humanity is a race of survivors. In fact, the very reason you're here is a testament to that fact. Humanity has overcome some of the most tragic hardships imaginable, from prehistoric times right up to the present. And this is, of course, is a race for us individually. But there's something special contained within our psyche, the human psyche, that drives us forward in the face of adversity, that motivates us to push past defeat and to triumph in the face of all odds. And that's a beautiful thing on the part of our human race. As a race, we've conquered beasts in the past, the distant past. We've also conquered tyrannical beasts in the not-so-distant past. I mean, look at the last couple of world wars and some of the other wars and conflicts that are going on. There's these tyrannical beasts, so to speak, that we've had to overcome. This human ability to overcome is precious, it's beautiful, and so far as we know, we're the only known species to have it currently. Perhaps one day that will change. The human spirit is unequaled. Nothing can defeat it. we literally have a powerhouse of energy within us that can be channeled into any direction that you want. And we see evidence of this all the time, don't we? I mean, look at some of the huge construction projects, not only in the present, but from times past. Look at the pyramids. But in present day, look at some of these big construction projects like dams. They literally change the channel of a river and dam it up for the benefits of irrigation and water supply and so forth. Those examples are all around us. We just have to look for them. So we really have the ability to do anything we want to do. And given enough time, we can do anything we want to do. I mean, look at what we've done. In addition to the dams and things like that, you know, we've gone to the moon, or we haven't if you're a conspiracy theorist. Either way, we've done a lot of cool things. But along with this power to do anything we want comes great responsibility. And with this responsibility, we fortunately get the guidance of what we call conscience, and which is really just an inherent knowing between right and wrong. This is something that we have as human beings, or most of us have. Of course, I'm not addressing the psychopaths and sociopaths. It's really beyond what I'm talking about. I'm talking about general, everyday people. We have a conscience, and it tells us what's right and wrong. We have this inner knowing of what's right and wrong. Now, sometimes we ignore it, and there are those who choose to ignore it, either deliberately or inadvertently. You know, sometimes we can be thoughtless. Sometimes we can be discourteous. But it's not something that we intentionally do. I mean, we don't lay awake at nights dreaming up ways to hurt people or to be thoughtless with them. But it is something to give attention to. In what ways can I be a little more conscientious of doing the nices and that kind of thing for other people? So we've got responsibility with this power. We fortunately have this moral compass of conscience that is, for the most of us, pointed in the direction of right. We just have to listen to that. What kind of challenges have you overcome in life? We've all had our challenges, our adversities, and we've also had our victories, our triumphs, haven't we? And so often we think that we're alone in this boat, that, wow, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home, and I'm about the only one, or I'm one of the few who has, and yet, you know, that is not the case. And, of course, that's my experience, and I've done a lot of work in the area of alcoholic relationships, as many of you know. And so I can relate to that, but there are so many people. When I was resolving my alcoholic relationships in life, I really did think I was kind of alone. I mean, there weren't that many people who had seen it. And wow, was I wrong. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you think back in your childhood, you can probably identify, most of you can, some of you can't, and that's a good thing too, but identify with the adversities, just the crap that went on at home, the family secret, don't forget about that, that thing that we never want to talk about, or that only happened behind closed doors. Yet we all have our stories to tell of adversity, but we also have those stories to tell of the victories, the triumphs, the things that we did good, that we're proud of ourselves for, and that's a good thing. So now you're an adult. You've been through some stuff, you've conquered some stuff, maybe you're still going through some stuff. Let's talk about getting out of it in a sense. Let's talk about drawing from within ourselves, drawing from that indomitable power of the human spirit that we have within, and really making our lives meaningful, doing that which we want to do. Let me ask you this question. Let me put it to you this way. Are you living your dream right now? Now, whenever I've asked that question to an audience, I maybe get one or two hands in a group of 50 people. Most people are not living their dream, or at least they don't think they are. And a lot of people say, gee, I don't know what my dream is, my purpose is. And I say, well, there's your dream right there. You know, figure out what your purpose is. And that's what we're talking about right now, to discover your purpose. Most people are not aware of what their dream is or what they ought to be doing in their life consciously, but they do know, as my discussion this morning will bring out. Unfortunately, so many people are what Zig Ziglar calls wandering generalities instead of meaningful specifics. People get so caught up in eking out an existence that they've literally forgotten how to live. So many people just don't consider the deeper meaning of life, the deeper aspects of life. And if they do, they don't really go very far with it. They don't really consider what it means to them personally. Well, what about you? Are you tired of being a wandering generality? Would you like to be a meaningful specific? Will you have everything you need within you to do that? In addition to that moral compass I talked about in the form of conscience, we also have an existential compass of sorts. And it contains the answers that we seek regarding our own unique and individual purpose in life. The interesting thing about it is we generally know the difference between right and wrong, right? I mean, it's just an inherent knowing. But the interesting difference with this existential compass, it's not always apparent consciously to us. Have you ever noticed this before? In other words, subtly and deep down, we feel this coaxing, this compulsion, this inner voice that's kind of drawing us, that's speaking to us. And I'm not talking about voices in your head. I'm talking about this compulsion. I'm talking about this inner knowing. But it's like below the threshold of our consciousness. It's like in the background. It's there, but we don't often pay attention to it. We often ignore it. We often repress it. It seems that this inner knowing is just beyond or below the threshold of our conscious mind. But then the day comes, and circumstances are such at the moment that this knowing rises to the surface, so to speak, into our awareness, and our higher self is finally able to establish this pathway to our conscious mind. And then we have what we call a moment of clarity, or we have an epiphany. You ever have those? And then we realize, wow, you know, I kind of knew that all along. I just wasn't aware of it. I just didn't know it. It just didn't come to the surface. Well, that's what this is about. It's there. We just got to draw from it. The task at hand here is to routinely embrace the quiet times of the day in reflective meditation. Now, this does not have to be some long, drawn-out event. You can make it that if you want, but it doesn't have to be hard. If you make it hard, you won't do it. Keep it simple. Just take a few minutes each day at whatever time is meaningful to you, whenever you can, and let the atmosphere around you just settle. Quiet down. Quiet your mind. And pay attention. I've talked about this before. One of the things I like to do is just let things quiet down, quiet my mind, clear my mind, and listen to the sounds that I normally don't pay attention to. Now, I'm in Florida, of course, and it's a beautiful sunny morning as usual, and I'm out on my patio, and there's birds singing and chirping and all that, and I'll be working through the day, and a lot of times I won't pay attention to them, but then I will. And if you really listen, what can you hear? Can you hear the clock? Can you hear the faucet dripping? Can you hear the house creaking or settling? What can you hear? Quiet your mind. And then reflect. What is your inner voice saying? What is it you want to do with your life? We have it within us, folks. We've just got to listen. So let's talk about some practical ways of discovering your life's purpose, of drawing that inside of you out to your conscious awareness. And here are some things I want to talk about in this regard. One thing to keep in mind is our individual purposes vary. So many we ask, what's the purpose of life? Well, you know, that's not the best question to ask. There is no one purpose of life. The better question is, what's my purpose in life? Because that's much different. About 10 years ago in my first book, The Game Rules for Life, I talked about a couple of life rules, which I feel are kind of general everyday rules for getting more out of life. The first one is to uncover and discover the things hidden hidden in and through creation and find personal enjoyment and fulfillment in the process. I'll repeat that. The first one is uncover and discover the things hidden in and through creation and find personal enjoyment and fulfillment in the process. That's the first of my two life rules. The second one is this. leave the woodpile a little higher than you found it. So again, the question is not what's the purpose of life, the question is what is my purpose in life? And we have to understand ourselves. We have to know ourselves a little bit, what our vision is, where our gifts lie. Many have found it an arduous task, a difficult task, to try to figure out exactly what it is they want to do with their lives. The late comedian George Burns said, "We need to find some reason to get out of bed each morning." I loved that quote. I mean, I've known about that for a long time, and I always ask myself, Doug, what is it you have to get you out of bed in the morning? What do you do? It was fascinating to ponder that. So think about that. What in your life gets you out of bed in the morning? If you're saying, well, nothing, then, you know, you're at the right place. We're talking about the good stuff that you need to hear. John Homer Miller emphasized a similar thing when he said, discover what you want most of all in this world and set yourself to work on it. The late scientist and author Isaac Asimov epitomized the discovery of our special purpose, our desires, our purpose in life. When he was asked what he would do if he only had 6 months to live, he replied, type faster. Now that's a man who knew what he wanted out of life. I always loved that one too. If you only had 6 months to live, what would you do? What's meaningful to you? You have to think about these things and ponder these things. So how do you reply? What's your purpose in life? We can pursue an endless selection or variety of vocations. We may have a bunch of different talents and expertises. Boy, I can't talk this morning. We're only limited by our imagination and our dreams. Discovering your purpose in life, again, is a highly personal decision, and you are not subject to the judgment of others, or shouldn't be, for your choices. And by the way, here's a hugely important point. If you do not actively make the choice about your purpose in life, if you don't make it actively, deliberately, the choice will be made for you by default, and you will probably not like that choice. In fact, if you have not actively made your choice in life now, or choices in life, regarding your purpose and other things, those choices have been made for you, and you are where you are because of you, just as we all are. We all have to take that personal responsibility. So don't let the universe make that choice for you. You choose because you have that right, you have the power, and you're capable of that. So how do you discover your purpose? Well, we've already discussed a little bit about how it's there. It's just below the threshold. It's kind of drawing you. It's coaxing you. It's compelling you. It's trying to get into your awareness. But let's do some things to help that. The first question that you need to ask about discovering your purpose in life is a very simple question, but it can be extremely difficult to answer. Here's the question. What do I call a good day? Simple but difficult question. What do I call a good day? Well, what about it? What do you call a good day? Have you ever thought about that? Here's some variations if that's stumping you a little bit. What truly inspires you? What motivates you? What excites you about life? What brings you joy? Tell me, how would you define happiness? If money was no object, how would you use your time? How would you spend that time? Those are some great questions to get you thinking. Now, do you have an answer to those? What was the first thought that came to your mind when I asked, what do I call a good day? What inspires you? What motivates you? What brings you joy? There was probably something that popped into your head. And if not, keep listening. If you're still having a hard time with this, let me give you a different batch of questions. You can kind of rule some things out with these next questions. What do you call a bad day? What does not inspire you? What does not motivate you? What does not excite you about life? What does not bring you joy? And how would you define unhappiness? If you can't do it with the direct way, then go around the back and rule things out. Now, some things might have popped in your head right then and there in regard to those questions. What do you not like? Well, whatever that was, don't do it. Get it out of your life. Take some time after the broadcast this morning and meditate on these topics and these questions, I should say. Don't forget that answer is probably hovering just below the surface. It's literally there if you just listen. You've got to answer that question, what do I call a good day? Think about this. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? You might be saying, well, hey, I'm still trying to figure that one out. And that's what we're trying to do here. What do you want to be when you grow up? Heck, I've asked a lot of adults that. What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, to answer these questions, we also need something else. And let me explain what that something else is by asking you a question. Do you have a plan for dying? Do you have a plan for dying? Do you know what we call that? We call it a will. That's a plan for dying, isn't it? And most of us have a plan for dying. Well, if we have a plan for dying, don't you think it would be even more important to have a plan for living? And how many of us have a plan for living? Probably most of us don't have a plan for living. But we've got to have a plan for living. It's really about goal setting. What do we want to accomplish? What purpose do we want to accomplish in our life? What do we want to be when we grow up? What do we call a good day? All those questions come into mind here. So what about your plan for living? Take some time today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, and write down your plan for living. It doesn't have to be a novel. It just needs to be a few bullet points. It should cover your physical life, your spiritual life, your financial life, other aspects of your life that are important to you. And it all starts with answering that question, what do I call a good day? And it will help to write that out. Write out what you call a good day. If you had to write a short story on your perfect day, what would it be? You can write it out. It would be even better if you wrote it out. But you can also run through it in your mind in that the times that you meditate, clear your mind, quiet it down, and then run through that whole scenario. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, what's your perfect day? You got to get it in your mind. Otherwise, you'll never even begin to fulfill that in your life. You have the indomitable power of the human spirit within you to accomplish anything you want. That's life. You know, I in my coaching, I hear a lot of people telling me, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'll offer a suggestion. No, I can't do that. And they give me every reason in the book why they can't do something. And I simply tell them, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't. I want to hear all the reasons why you can. Now, if you're that type of person that comes up with a reason why you can't to every suggestion, you got to look within. You got to rethink that approach. Because we are the ones that make our lives the hardest. Wouldn't you agree with that? You've heard the expression, we're our own worst enemies. Well, that's generally true. It's due to our beliefs. It's due to our preconceived notions. It's due to our own lack of confidence, lack of self-worth. And we've talked about this in previous episodes, self-esteem. We have everything we need. You are enough. You've got everything you need. You've got to stop putting yourself down. You've got to stop thinking you can't because you can. Let's take a moment. Let's do a quick exercise. Now, if nothing else, if you're listening to this, you know, humor me, whether it's live or by the archive, humor me for just a moment. It'll only take a couple of minutes. I want you to just relax, close your eyes. I want you to take a couple of deep breaths. In through your nose, hold it to the mental count of three, and slowly release it through your mouth, and just settle. Just let your mind quiet down. Let your local atmosphere around you quiet and settle. Take another deep breath in through your nose. Hold it to the mental count of three. And slowly let it out. And just release the stress of the day, the anxieties of the moment. Allow your mind to quiet. Now listen to yourself. Listen to your inner voice. Listen to what it's trying to tell you. Pay attention to that inner pulling, that inner compulsion toward a specific direction. Now tell me, what do you call a good day? What is it that you wanted to accomplish in your life? You don't need to worry about the how. That'll come. Right now you just need to focus on the what. Identify that what. Folks, we don't want to wind up on our deathbed with a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if-onlys, and the might-have-beens. This is it. Figure out what you want to do with your life and be about it. Stop making excuses why you can't do this or that or the other thing, whatever it is you want to do. When you're on your deathbed, you will not remember all the reasons why you couldn't do something you wanted to do. You'll only remember and regret and lament that you didn't do it. That's all that will have mattered. I mean, think about right now. Think about 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, we may have had these challenges and things. We may have regretted that we didn't do something 5 or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever it is. Do you remember all the reasons why you couldn't do it at the time? Probably not. Well, that will be no different than on your deathbed. You'll look back to this time and say, gee, why didn't I do that? You know, it was so important. Now I can't do it, but it was so important at the time that I should have moved heaven and earth, as they say, to get it done. Well, that's now. You need to live your life. As Jonathan Livingston said, may you live all the days of your life. And that's really what it's all about. We don't want to have a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if-onlys, and the might-have-been. You know, my dad used to say the two saddest words in the English language are if-only. And he's right, because we use those all the time, don't we? You won't remember all the reasons then, so make sure that you make the choices to do things now. Here's a couple of quotes to sum things up. Thomas Edison says, I pity the man without a purpose in life. An unknown author said, don't let weeds grow around your dreams. I can't, another author, Mark Twain, we all know him, he said, I can't teach anybody how to get what, excuse me, let me repeat that. I can teach anybody how to get what they want out of life. The problem is I can't find anybody who can tell me what they want. Of course, we're not going to be part of that crowd anymore, right? Susan Ertz wrote, millions long for immortality who don't know what to do on a rainy Sunday afternoon. So we've been talking about the indomitable power of the human spirit. We've talked about how you have everything within you to do and accomplish anything and everything you want to do. Listen to the archive again if you need to, but be about living your life and accomplishing your purpose. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to solve problems and find solutions. So often we feel like we're kind of buried with things. We're going to discover some techniques to solve those problems. We'll discuss principle of belief number 3. You're welcome to email me with your questions if you wish, admin@mchschurch.org. Love to hear from you. And that pretty much wraps up this edition of Empower the Spirit. Hope to see you next Sunday at 11. Until then, this is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks for listening, and have an awesome day.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Empower the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated. Copyright 2010. Visit us on the web at mchschurch.org.